Blog Talk Radio.
This is Monica Liel welcoming you to the LL Research Radio Program In the Now with Carla L. Ruckert and Jim McCarty. Today is Friday, November 9th, 2012. Carla L. Ruckert is an author, mystic, seeker, and primary channel for LL Research. Jim McCarty is Carla's husband, the scribe for the Raw Contact, and president of LL Research. Please visit our websites, llresearch.org, home to over 1,500 channeling transcripts, 11 publications, the Law of One material, interviews, speeches, and more. And the community website, bringforth.org, that's bring, the number four, th.org, featuring forums, blogs, chat rooms, and more. I'll be asking Carla and Jim questions that come from you. If you would like to ask a question live on the air, please call 646-595-2294 and press the 1 key when prompted. Again, that number is 646-595-2294. Or you can join the chat room at blogtalkradio.com/LLResearch. When submitting questions, please remember this is a Law of One Q&A. Try to keep your questions as spiritually oriented as possible. Again, I'm Monica Liel, and I'm talking with Carla L. Ruckert and Jim McCarty of LL Research. Hey, Carla and Jim, are you with us?
We sure are.
Hello there.
Okay. Hi. How are you doing today?
Very well.
Just having a good time. How are you, Monica?
Oh, doing good. Doing good.
Excellent.
Had a lot of stuff going on lately, but it's all good.
Works out
good
that.
Anyway. Or that's
we had
the attitude you got to have
Sandy.
Anyway.
Huh?
That's the attitude you got to have anyway. I hear you got your trip canceled or rescheduled because of the hurricane. Is that
I
right?
I sure did. Totally wiped off the map. And when they wrote and said that, you know, that it was going to be in 2 weeks, they didn't know it. But a week after, you know, they weren't out of power, but all around them was out of power. So it was just as well. They would have been struggling. So it's going to be in 2 weeks. So again, we'll say not now, but is it next week, Nick?
Next weekend.
Next weekend that we'll be there. So next Monday we'll still be. Will we still be gone, or will we be back?
We'll leave on Thursday and we'll get back on Sunday.
Uh oh, that kind of takes out Friday. So.
So 1 week from tonight, the 16th, there'll be no show.
Right.
Okay, and then the week after that is Thanksgiving. Are we going to do a show the day after Thanksgiving? I mean, it's up to you.
I will if you will.
Oh, yeah.
That's fine with me.
Okay, let's do it.
Okay.
Let's give Thanksgiving together.
Okay, that's fine. Okay, so
we do have one thing before the excuse me, Monica. I keep interrupting you. Go ahead.
Oh, no, that's okay. I was just going to recap just so everybody's got it clear. No show on the 16th, but we will be back. We will be here Thanksgiving weekend on the 23rd.
All right. Yeah.
That's it. Go ahead.
Delighted to be. So I was just going to say we do have one difficulty or challenge, or I don't know how you'd put it, catalyst is incoming for one of our home crew, Gary's beloved, Trish, has Crohn's disease, and it normally doesn't give her any trouble. It's been passive since childhood, but it's flared up here, and the doctor thinks after many tests and a lot of grief that it's probably what they call adhesions, and they're going to have to be removed so that this doesn't keep happening. Going into the hospital once a week is kind of demoralizing, poor baby, and not to mention how much it hurts. So everybody pray for Trish and Gary and that whole group of family and all of us, because we're all just praying like crazy that she'll be fine. She's got a great attitude and says it's all going to be okay, and I know it will be, but it's a little traumatic for those of us around her that have to watch her suffer.
Well, we will definitely hold her and the whole family in our prayers. And I know everybody listening will do the same. So you got it.
Thanks a lot. Okay.
All right. I guess I'll go ahead and go to our opening riff tonight. This is from, let's see, you know what? You did send me the date on that, and I didn't pull it up. So not sure. Oh, here we go. No. February 19th. What year?
2011.
Okay. I didn't pull that up along with the document. Okay. This is from Kuo. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay. Feel for a moment the quality of consciousness within you. Feel it filling you, your chest, your limbs, your torso. Feel your heart expand as you focus on this consciousness. Feel the love in that consciousness. This is your basic tool, consciousness itself. It is inevitably true that speaking will confuse you, distract you, seduce you, and whether you are amused or charmed or dismayed by words, they cannot be said to lead you into essence. Consequently, in order to dwell in the environment of your choice, we encourage contemplation, meditation, prayer, or any way that you choose to enter the silence, to come out from the desert to the oasis, and go into the tent of tabernacle. For the Infinite One is ever awaiting you, to companion you, to love you, and to empower you for service.
Thanks, Monica. And thank you, Kuo, for those words. I know they're with us. They always are when we're working with what they had to say. This is fairly current, being 2011. Just not quite a year ago, or not quite 2 years ago, I guess. Anyway, have you ever done one of those relaxation exercises where you start at the beginning, the top of your head, feel your eyelids relaxing, and go down the body, limb by limb, and keep telling yourself to relax, 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 and finally your whole body is relaxed, and it just feels so good. Of course, there's no spiritual significance given to that exercise. Usually people are just trying to help you to be less stressed. And certainly going into the silence does that. But, you know, it does something else. It empowers you. It enhances your experience. There's no real substitute for it that I know of. There's no loudness, there's no activity that beats the silence for spiritual gain, if you want to look in terms of gain and loss. Sometimes I think we lose a lot of time in our lives because we are just not polarizing it at all. We're thinking of things that we need to do or that we must do or that we want to do, and whether that's good or bad or however we feel about it, it's tensing us. It's making us a little nervy. You know, we want to make sure this gets done. And, you know, we write down lists. And, hey, I write down lists all the time. And I find them very helpful. Did you ever notice how many things fall off the bottom of the list in a day? You just can't really get done in a day what you think you can almost ever. But at any rate, there is just no end to the ways that you can avoid moving into the silence. And I am a writer. I am a lover of the language. And I love to write words that hopefully would inspire someone. I just love to feel that flowing within me when I know I'm really in that zone where the Holy Spirit is helping me, and I'm able to say what I have to say, not just well, but with articulation, with maybe even eloquence. It's a wonderful feeling, and I know people enjoy the, you know, depending on whether they like my work or not, they enjoy that. And that's all well and good. And I love to read. I am a reader. I've got an open book right here by my computer and probably knock off a book in a day or two, depending on how long it is. But I do know this, the silence is more helpful to me than all the words in the world. Words can lead you around, and when you choose what you read, you can choose how you feel. You can tune yourself up with a book, or you can let yourself be tuned way down with the buzz of the day, or a racy book that awakens your red ray but doesn't awaken anything else. But what you can do, finally, is to put that book down, gently close the cover, and say, you know, right now I think I'd rather seek the tabernacle. I'd rather go into the tent, for the Infinite One is awaiting me. What a joy to have the Infinite One awaiting me. The Infinite One awaits us all, no matter where we are, no matter how far into the desert we have strayed, no matter how puzzled and confused we feel. That doesn't matter. It doesn't take many steps to go into this tabernacle. It's waiting inside of us. The oasis, the water for which we thirst, is right here. The manna for which we hunger is within. Let's go together, you and I, into the silence for just a moment. Can you feel that? Can you feel that energy just pulsing through us? And to do it in a group like this, I can feel your energy. Thank you, Monica. Thank you, Nick. I don't know who else is on the line, but whoever you are, thank you, too. It's wonderful. And thank God nobody sneezed during that silence.
Well, mute buttons do come in handy.
That's true. I don't know what that was.
I don't know what that was either.
On my end,
you know,
but I don't know.
It's interesting that you mention the words of a book and having to put that down in order to go into the silence. And yet, gosh, you know, with the current technology that we have, most of us are sitting at a computer all day long, bombarded with technology, bombarded with images and flashing lights and, you know, just way more intense than even a book. A book is so calm in comparison, and not to mention, you know, the TV or the video games and whatnot. And it's interesting how much more so are many of us cut off for a good part of the day because we're so caught up in not just words of a book, but even the images. And I'm wondering if it's even more difficult to turn it off. And I know a lot of the young... A lot of the young people that you know, were brought up. I mean, we were brought up with TV, but they were brought up with even more fast-paced technology with the video games. And I know some of them have asked me this question, and I know I've asked you this question before. How do you have any advice for people that have been brought up in such a fast-paced mental state, how to turn it off and to get into that silence?
And you just stop talking, or you close the computer down, or you close your book. You know, that it's as simple as that. And yet the idea of turning off the computer is like, what? you're waiting for email, or you're waiting, or you're wanting to surf, or you're wanting to do something. Even those of us who have not yet become addicted to anything beyond solitaire, you know, That computer's on all day. I mean, everything I do is on computer. And it's so comforting, you know, to have it there and to have it working. You just feel like the world is at your command. And yet, of course, the inner world is not.
Do you think that it causes And Jim, feel free to chime in too if you like. Do you think this having so much going on in your head all day with the technology, do you think that continues to affect the mind after you turn it off?
Oh yeah, I think that we're replaying so much of what we've experienced with the computer or text messages or all kinds of communication we've had with our friends and family, and thinking about this and that, trying to put things together to make them come out the way we want to. It's just the way that people cope nowadays, and I think it takes an even stronger discipline now than ever before to take oneself away from the busyness of the world and to retire into the silence of the meditation or of contemplation or prayer, whatever feeds you the most. And in this way, we are able to kind of sink back into that uncreated essence from which all the creation was made, and feel the richness of all the creation again, and be more able to come out into the world of busyness and to move peacefully through it, and to have it be our servant rather than us be its servant. And that, I think, is the real problem. People are so involved in their various ways of electronic communications and experience that they become focused so much on that they don't see much else. So it takes a lot more discipline, I think. But I think that ever and always the true seeker is able to do this, to find that will within the self that is able to shed the worldly pursuits and to return to the simple life of contemplation and meditation.
And if you can only do it just a little bit, you become hungry for it. It becomes something that you want to do. I think that we have to be part of noise, most of us, most of the day. I mean, like I said, I work on the computer all the time, so that there may not be a whole lot of noise going on the computer unless I've switched on one of the music stations and listened to music in the background, but which I like to do, by the way. I think it's very soothing. I even like to put TV on in the background sometimes. I find that to be comforting. But then you're in the car. Say that you're not working from home and you're having to commute. You're in the car and you cannot put earphones on in the car because you wouldn't know what was happening. You'd be a bad driver, if you couldn't hear honks and the noise of traffic around you and know what's going on. And when you finally do get home, well, what's your home environment? There's noise there. So you really have to choose that silence. You have to seek it. You can't just, realize suddenly that you are in silence. Most of the time, you've got to make it happen.
Okay. Thank you very much, both of you. I'm going to go to our first question. It's from Cyan. Is there anything to see in life besides what we project into life? Is there, after all this time, evidence to prove the real nature of the other self as free and independent of the thoughts of the inner self?
I doubt that there will ever be evidence of that. But the truth of it is that there isn't anything besides thought. Now, the other self has real thoughts, and we have real thoughts, and they are independent of each other insofar as they are thoughts and not concepts, insofar as we think them rather than feel them. But in the very first thing that the Ra group said to us, before I'd even gone into trance the first time, they were just making contact and really moving around the group trying to see if anybody besides me could take the contact, which, of course, as you know, did never work. But they said, this is 1.0, so it's before questioning began. This is what the only thing that Ra said before the questioning began. The Ra group said this: let us for a moment consider thought. What is it, my friends, to take thought? Took you then thought today? What thoughts did you think today? What thoughts were part of the original thought today? And how many of your thoughts did the creation abide? Was love contained and was service freely given. You are not part of a material universe. You are part of a thought. You are dancing in a ballroom in which there is no material. You are dancing thoughts. You move your body, your mind, and your spirit in somewhat eccentric patterns, for you have not completely grasped the concept that you are part of the original thought. End quote. So when you break down what they're saying, they're insinuating strongly that they don't even really see that we're individuals with individual thoughts. They see that we are part of one having thoughts that are separate, one thought and another thought, but coming from the one, coming from all of us together. I think somewhere, Mickey, I just thought of this, isn't there somewhere in the raw material where they say, well, we can't see you individually?
Right. To them, we looked like light,
yeah.
Different shades of light.
So they were having difficulty with that concept. So no, Cyan, there is not evidence to prove the real nature of the other self as free and independent of the thoughts of the inner self. And physics these days is saying, I think this part of string theory, or some proponents of string theory offer the concept that every thought that we have goes forward forever. So eventually all the thoughts mingle of all of us. There is another, it's another way of saying that all is one, but it's saying it in terms of the thoughts that we are, rather than the bodies, the minds, or the spirits that we are. So we are thoughts. And I love the idea of dancing eccentrically. I think I certainly dance somewhat eccentrically these days from the wheelchair. But when I was at my very best, I'm sure there was a certain amount of eccentricity. You know, I think of Elaine, you know, on that.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, every time she danced, everybody would just be looking the other way. Oh, no, she's dancing again. So, that's sort of the way I think about myself, is, you know, being kind of a bozo and not really getting the dance of thoughts. But it's fun to dance with thoughts when you're dancing with people who enjoy dancing.
Okay. Our next question is from Storm Shadow. Storm Shadow says, this came to me last night in the shower. I was having an argument with my wife, which is a rarity, but it happens. I realized that my pattern during the conflict is to stay very calm, avoid becoming emotional, listen to everything she has to say, even when she interrupts me, and always make sure that the last thing I say to her is something loving and appreciative. I've noticed that every time I do this, she becomes even more angry and agitated, often goes to bed angry, but when she wakes up the next day, she will always understand my point better than the day before and apologize for being so difficult. Now, the thing is, it's gotten to the point where I know that staying calm, loving, and accepting will net me a better end result than if I were to just let go and try to force my point across. And I'm aware now that I'm accepting her anger and controlling this anger in an almost perfect way by accepting it without resistance and letting it extinguish itself. So I often feel during these interchanges as if I'm very polarized towards both STS and STO. I feel a sense of sadness and love because I am accepting these emotions unconditionally, and this does hurt. But then there's another part of me, like the Emperor from Star Wars, who knows exactly what he's doing and is like sitting there saying, yes, yes, let the anger flow through you. Ha, 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 ha. So my question is, am I right in guessing that even in this density, the polarities start to look and feel more similar the farther you get? I remember Ra mentioning that the positively polarized entity has an easier time jumping to polarized negative and vice versa, because their degree of polarization, not the direction, is the dominant commonality. I'd always assumed this applied to fourth only and above. Thank you.
Okay. Storm Shadow, I got to call you on this one. You are not accepting her emotions unconditionally. You are accepting her emotions unconditionally temporarily. and waiting for the inevitable to happen, because your wife apparently, when she calms down, actually can think logically. Not everybody can. I'm not saying women can or can't. I'm saying people can or they can't. So while it is very commendable of you not to yell at your wife, it is less helpful to both of you for you to manipulate the situation and let her go to bed angry. I think this is only IMHO and not very H. Than to walk through it with her and say, okay, let me say it again. I feel, always start with an I, start your sentences with I feel. You can even say, I am creating that you do, that you're feeling this way. And, you know, if she yells at you, fine. You don't have to yell at somebody else to get your point across. You have to be stubborn to get your point across. Jim, help me out here, because you came from a point where you didn't think that talking would help, to a point where you never, ever, ever let us go to bed estranged in any way. What are your thoughts, Hobson?
I think that it's a good idea to go with the flow of the moment, to be spontaneous, to not try to control the moment for some projected outcome. It may mean that for the short run you get as embroiled and energetic as your wife does, but I think that it's a more natural flowing of what's going through you, that it might even be that this is something that she would appreciate, because apparently when you're silent, she does not appreciate that at all. And doesn't feel like you're engaged, perhaps. And if we just let these energies come through us, I think that there's a natural resolution that comes about when we do not try to control the energies and let them bloom and flow and move as they will. And then, after that's occurred, then it's more likely that we'll be able to find a real peace within ourselves and share this with each other and find a healing that comes from that.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, Jim, you hit it exactly. It you need to be engaged, and I know the pattern. This was exactly the pattern with my mother and father, which may be why I am as stern about this as I am. But I watched this time and again. My dad, the logical fella, you know, would be, "Now, Jeannie, don't you think?" And, "Oh, Ted, oh, Ted," she'd go into hysterics, you know. And grab her book and run upstairs, and, you know, she, oh. And he never, ever went after her. He just shrugged his shoulders. What a crazy woman, you know. If he had just once been able to walk her through it, walk her through that moment where she's panicking, that she's been, I don't know, abandoned somehow, and show that, you know, there's no abandonment here, and, you know, it's just, here's a point, and I was just trying to say this, and I'm really so sorry, but I was creating that you felt this way, or I was creating that, you know, and become emotionally closer, even if it takes you outside of your comfort zone. I would not have grown up in such a noisy household, because my mother's angry. I mean, this is something that happened almost daily in my childhood. And, you know, it's a bad pattern if it gets entrenched, simply because it is an estranging pattern. It doesn't make you any closer just to meet her upsetness with calm. I think the love there would also call you forward with words that, you know, I guess I'd say in the moment, as Jim said, ask. Just give that moment a spaciousness. Give yourself a split second to ask, love, where would you have me go? And maybe it is a time to be silent. Maybe there's too much damage in this one particular button that you may have pushed, and you don't want to damage her. You just want to, you know, carry on a conversation. And when you realize, oh, my God, you know, there's that button, then maybe you think, well, love says don't go there right now because you can't take it. But hopefully love will show you the way to express to her a lack of abandonment, a feeling, a desire of being closer, and the expression of how you feel hurt and you feel, you know, whatever you feel that may be negative, that's not in your comfort zone, and confess those things to her because she's outside of her comfort zone for sure. There's another question here. Are you right that in this density, the polarities start to look or feel more similar the farther you get? I don't know, Jim. I haven't really chewed that one very well. What do you think?
I don't think they get to appear similar. I think that they are there for us to discover, and as we're going through our lives, if we are, you know, adopt a spontaneous movement through the daily round of activities, that the choices that come our direction will draw forth from us the choice of that still small voice that knows exactly what we want to do. And I think that we can get in trouble when we try to overthink things and try to control them and think about, well, now let's see, if I do this, then, you know, somebody's going to benefit here, but then they won't benefit there. If I do that, I think we need to go with our gut. You know, we need to go with our heart. Not meaning to mix the two up there, but you know, there is a feeling in there that tells us which way to go if we're really open to it. And the choices that we have to make are choices of flowing in a direction that feels right. It doesn't think right. It doesn't lay out logically, perhaps, but it's the right direction. And if we're open and we don't try to control it, it will make itself known to us.
Yeah. I don't know. I think maybe there's a seed of truth in there somewhere, and I'm thinking maybe it's because as you become more positively polarized, it's because you've acknowledged and seen for the first time a lot of different little portions of your shadow self, and you've gone through going, oh my God, is that really me? And then, well, yeah, that is me. And then, you know, humbly asking that shadow part of yourself, come into the light with me and help me, because there are things that, you know, I need you for. You know, I need you for your grit. I need you for your strength. So maybe that's where there's truth in it, because I do sense that there is some truth in that. Maybe it's because as you become more positively polarized, things become more transparent to you, and the path to unity becomes more obvious. Monica, what do you think?
Well, I think you really got to some key points just a minute ago. You said something about moving out of your comfort zone, and I'm wondering if a lot of it has to do with the motivation of the person that's being very quiet and calm. Is it because he is really in a state of calm and love and just genuinely exuding that love to his wife? If that's the case, then that seems to me a totally STO action. However, is he staying calm because he's uncomfortable with her anger and uncomfortable with the raw, so-called negative emotions that are being mirrored back to him? Because obviously if somebody's angry at us, then there's something in us, you know, that they're mirroring to us. And I'm wondering if sometimes people try to suppress those emotions. They try to, you know, shut them out. Oh, I don't want to deal with that. That's too mm-hmm. unpleasant. And I'm just going to stay calm. And on the surface, it looks like you're taking the high road. You're being calm. You're being, you know, you're not engaging. But in actuality, it's possible. And I'm not saying he's doing that, but I'm just offering that as something to consider, that he might actually be, you know, denying the expression of those emotions and not truly accepting them. And so it might be beneficial to ask that question, well, what is this mirroring back to me? Do I have some anger in myself that I'm not acknowledging? And embrace that shadow self, and so that it can be healed and transformed. And then it becomes a genuine, you know, accepting and a genuine love and healing can occur.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So I think that there's probably both, storm shadow. There's probably both, you know, and please let me know if I'm wrong here, but there's probably both the honest calm and the STO thing, and then the lack of desire to remove yourself from your comfort zone, which is STS, you know. So, and don't we all face questions this tough a lot, you know? So there's no one right way to act, for sure. But you just have to find out where the love is.
Absolutely. Okay, our next question is from Casey Gal. Dear friends, please help me to understand what you mean when you say that our planet is now 4D. I get a warm, fuzzy feeling when you say it, but I really don't know what it means. Do you mean more good things are happening? Do you mean something mysterious and incomprehensible? I would appreciate some specifics, explanations such as, all the atoms in our planet now have an invisible outer ring which can only be detected by 4D entities. I know that's silly, but I'm asking for something I can understand. Please make it easy. And in the title of her question, she said, it sure doesn't look any different to me if we're supposedly at 4D.
Mickey, you want to start on that one?
Well, I think it's a very difficult thing to perceive with our physical senses. It's something that's more able to be perceived in our meditative state when we feel the vibration of the planet, the essence of ourselves as we continue to move in our own journey of seeking. It's something that apparently is more able to be experienced in the realms of thought. As we continue to think in a certain way, we are more likely to move in that direction, that our thoughts have more ability to create changes in our consciousness. It's something that comes from desire and intention, and it isn't measurable by any instrumentation that we have available on the planet at this time. It is nebulous, and it's difficult to perceive. But I think that in our meditations is where we can find evidence more readily than any place else in our experience. And I think that's why meditation and moving away from the busyness of the world is so important, and more important as time goes on, because this blooming of the planet into fourth density is something that has occurred in the inner realms, the invisible realms, the time-space realms, and will eventually make itself more apparent in our space-time reality as well. But before that occurs, for us to be aware of it, we really need to retire into our meditative state and to open ourselves to the vibrations that are occurring, and then I think we can experience it for ourselves and be aware of what's occurring through our meditations.
Yeah. I asked Jim to start because I was trying to find this quote, and the quote is in the 13th session, the 22nd question of Ra, and Ra says, well, Don asks, what is the density level of our planet Earth at this time? Now, he asked an 81, mind you. And Ra says, the sphere upon which you dwell is third density in its beingness of mind-body-spirit complexes. That's us. It is now in a space-time continuum, fourth density. That's them. The planet is in fourth density. We are being bombarded constantly with fourth density vibrations. Now, the fourth density vibrations to a third density activated person are going to give us huge wake-up calls. Our shadow selves are going to be ever more transparent to us because love is not simply love. They call it the density of love and understanding. So you're getting the understanding more than you're getting the love, because you're not, your DNA is not geared to be able to run that much love. Now, my basic feeling is we can change our DNA. And we change our DNA by acting as though we had fourth density ability. We change our DNA by going for the love every single time, going for the love. And going for the high road, going for whatever you, I mean, sometimes it's not obvious that, you know, where is the love in this moment. Sometimes there are times when there are nuances, there are times when there are complexities that cause you to see that you're going to have to take it deeper. You're going to have to strip away some more masks before you can get to the essence of a situation. And, of course, in the moment, it's very hard to do that. I've found one trick that really helps is to ask myself, okay, what would my highest and best self do in this point? And sometimes I'll just get a flash as if my higher self were going, all right, dear, thank you for asking, you know, and then sort of giving me a shot at interpreting what that highest and best is in the moment, you know, not at leisure, but at that particular point. I don't think it's the warm fuzzies that are going to get us anywhere. I never have felt that. I get irritated at channeling. I shouldn't say this because warm fuzzies really help some people, but I get irritated at the warm fuzzies because they do leave you hanging. They make you feel good, and then you don't know how to get there except by reading some more warm fuzzies. You know, it's like the difference between yellow ray healing and green ray healing. You know, you're only feeling warm and fuzzy while you're reading the warm and fuzzy. And it's sort of it's splashing off from the book onto you or from the computer onto you or whatever. And you're getting that as soon as you turn the computer off or close the book and you're not reading the warm and fuzzy words anymore, then here you are back in your reality and it's not warm and it's not fuzzy. And you need something with teeth in it. To orient you as to how to find the love in the moment. Sometimes it's quite obvious. There is no love in the moment, okay? Unless you decide that you want to provide some. And then you just do the best you can. Take somebody's hand, give somebody a smile, do the simple things. Love on each other, as we say here in the South. And a lot of times, just a kind word, trying to say things, there are so many different ways to say the same thing. Have you ever noticed that? And if you just look for ways to say the truth that have heart in them, it sort of puts you on the spot all the time, which doesn't sound like a fun way to live, but on the other hand, it's what we came here to do. We came here to lighten the consciousness of planet Earth, right? You lighten the consciousness of planet Earth by allowing the light to flow through you. So if you don't have anything to say, you just have to go inside, invoke the silence, and radiate some love for a little while you get yourself together. And you don't have to do the radiating. It's radiating through you if you let it. So I guess that would be my greatest contribution to this is to let it happen. Let that love flow through you. And being as how we're just humans here and not, you know, our DNA is not geared to take all that love, we just have to do the best we can. And I think if we try to do the best we can and don't get discouraged, it's going to be good. And like Jim was saying, you know, this is the time to be calm and reassuring and aware of the safety of the moment. I just wrote a fundraising letter, and it'll be going out to those listening to the program, no doubt. But I was just, you know, praying as to how I wanted to write the letter, and finally Spirit just said, "Well, start with the fact that we are in fourth density now." And, you know, it says, what did he say, the planet is being fetched with some inconvenience or something like that. I love that. And, you know, it's just, you just have to realize this is the truth. No matter how many Superstorm Sandys there are, the truth is that we are the planet is in fourth density, and it is being fetched with some inconvenience because of all of our thoughts, all of the mind, body, spirits, what did he say, all of our beingnesses. We have had a series of empires on this planet since the beginning of written history, the Babylonians, you know, the Egyptians, the Greeks, the Romans. That was a notable empire. Then, you know, the Holy Roman Empire, and then there was another Holy Roman Empire before it shot down, got shot down completely, and then there was the Metternich Reich, you know, before the Third Reich. There was the last of the Holy Roman Emperor Reichs, and then there was the Reich of Metternich, which was a German one. And then the Third Reich, and don't you think maybe that the Fourth Reich is us? I mean, London and Washington have done a lot of calling of people to war, and you can speak of its glory and speak of its honor, and we can certainly see that it was necessary, at least in the Second World War. But we can also see the manipulations of service to self, even in that event. So our planet has been bombarded by the call to empire on the surface, which is a call to killing and harming other people, and a call to fear, and a call to defense, and a call to all those contracting emotions that lead one into a service to self, you know, where we're easy pickings for a service to self manipulator. So I can see why we were being fetched with some inconvenience, but what if we lessen that inconvenience by whatever we can do to stop fearing and start loving?
He said something, well, you said a lot of profound stuff there, Carla. One thing in particular that stood out that I found really profound was Ra said, find the love in the present moment, and you said, well, sometimes you can't find it or it's not there, so it has to come from you. And that really struck a chord for me because I just had that exact same realization earlier today in a conversation with someone. It's that very same idea, but not
my
quite
goodness.
Articulated like that, but it was like the light is in you. It's coming from you. You know, you have to find it, but it's, you know, let it come from you. And anyway, so when you said that, that really hit home. So thanks for that.
Well, yeah, thank you very much.
Now, we had someone call in just a few minutes ago, and I was about to let them onto the call, and they either we lost them or they hung up. So if you're still listening, we do have just enough time to take a live call. So if you want to call back, please
do. Why don't
we
stall for like a minute? We'll give them a chance to do that. Let's see.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. What was that number? Well, if you do Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, let me give the number. I'll give the number again. It's 646-595-2294. That's 646-595-2294, and hit the one key. So if you hit the one key, then I can let you in on the call. So if you're still listening, please call back.
We're so excited around here when we get a caller.
we really are. And then to see them hang up, it's like, no.
We'll go back and drag you here.
I was about to get to you, sir. We really were. Yeah.
Okay, well, that's a minute. So let's go on.
I have to go ahead and read the next question. And then, but if the caller comes in, I'm going to interrupt you, Carla, and say, hey, he's back.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay. This is from Norrell. Norrell says, I asked Carla and Jim for advice back in 2000 via email. The advice was, there is love in every moment. You just have to find it. My question is, what is the best way to love someone who is taking advantage of you? How do you love STS? The only thing I can imagine is loving the lesson that they are showing, that lesson being the resulting pain and stagnation that STS causes for other entities who are in fact also part of their oneself.
Well, when we were going through the raw contact and having the negatively oriented entity greet us from time to time in an attempt to stop the contact, Don asked basically the same question. He says, how can we be of service to this entity and still continue the contact? And Ra's basic response was that to realize the perfection of that entity and to wish that entity well was a good thing to do, but to then let that entity go on its own way with your blessings, and you do the same. So there's no need to constantly submit yourself to being manipulated, but you can love that entity and bless them and then go your way to do your thing and allow that entity to do the same.
Of course, if you can't let that entity go his way, that becomes more difficult. And I don't know, you have to step up to the plate on that one and be very strong. I think that if it's possible to amend a situation where you're being taken advantage of, I do believe that you can do such a thing in love. You can do such a thing while you're loving the person and without attachment to whether you're able to make a change or not. The example that I would offer is the bad landlord. Jim, you remember the Chinese fellow that rented us the place on
Luther Nee, yes.
Yeah, that was his name, Luther Nee. I always thought it was funny that he was named for someone that was religious when he was such a rotten son of a gun. But, I mean, he was so cheap that curtains that, I tried to take them down and wash them and they fell apart. And he said, those curtains were perfectly all right. I don't owe you any curtains. That was how bad it was when we were there. Well, this was the place where we had the raw contact, and we tried to buy it. And Don got disgusted because he tried to bilk Don for an extra $5,000, and Don did not want to be bilked, so we lost that house. It was unfortunate and set the stage for all kinds of disastrous moves. We went to Georgia, and then it was so horrible in Georgia for Don, it was worse than having to commute from Louisville to Atlanta to go to work, so we came back here and bought the house that we're in today. But that, too, was something that was just, he just was sure that he'd made a terrible mistake. He wanted to sell the house immediately. And at that point, Jim and I knew that he was not, all the way together, because this house was, he bought it for less than the cost of the land. It was an incredible bargain. Incredible bargain. And it was probably one of the best decisions he ever made. And for him to doubt himself at that point was just astonishing. But at any rate, at the point at which we were going to stay here and live in that house, Luther said that he wanted, in addition to the money agreed on, he wanted another $5,000. And Don said no. So by the time we had gone to Georgia and then come back, it took all that time for my lawyer, who was falling down on the job, something fierce, and never, ever even brought our situation to court. And this was in the last years of his life, I think. He just wasn't himself. Anyway, I was a fool to let the lawyer go on like that, but I just, I trusted him. I didn't have good judgment because he was one of my mother's best friends in the church, and it just, never occurred to me that he wouldn't be competent. At any rate, we eventually found ourselves, I'd say a half a year later at least, because we were back in Louisville. And I think Don had died. So, this was a year from when we had first tried to get this done. There was a matter, to close the books, there was a matter of $5,000 escrow. And you know, if you don't buy the house, you get the escrow back, right? The escrow account is just sitting there to hold it while the decision is finalized. If it's never finalized, you get the money back. Well, Luther wouldn't give the money back. He refused to give the money back. Said it was his money. Well, that's the $5,000 I think that he wanted. And I'm telling you, it was the hardest thing in the world for me to keep him in my heart in love while I was negotiating with him with that escrow account. And finally, he wouldn't even give it back half and half. He said, I'll take $3,000, you take $2,000. And I knew I wasn't going to get any better than that from the guy. He had to win, period. And I said, okay. And I said it in love, but it was, oh my heavens, the hardest of hard things to do. And I just advise you to practice that. Don't manipulate. You know, see what you can do. Draw a line if you can. And if you can't, keep them in your heart.
Okay. Well, speaking of keeping somebody in your heart, you have a little message from Nicholas from Canada. Says, can you please say hello to Jim and Carla from me? I'm sending them a huge hug right now. I'm truly enjoying all of your explanations. He's in the chat room.
Well, thank you so much.
And
bless you, Nicholas.
Says, really enjoying the show. Heart always speaks the truth. There are lessons that are tender that do not bruise.
Oh, beautiful. That's so true. My mother once said of me, she said, Carla, you're so incredible. She said, sometimes I realize that you've told me the truth so in such a loving way that I haven't even felt the scalpel as it cut me to the bone.
Oh, gosh. Oh, my God.
Sort of a backward compliment, but I knew what she meant at the time.
Ooh, what a thing to say.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
Man, we're pretty much out of time. If you just have any last quick, 1 minute comments or anything else you want to add?
Well, I just ask for your prayers to go with us next week. It's going to be a very interesting time. We'll be there with about 300 other people. And the guy that's holding this event has said to Jim and me several times that he wants us to be heard. He wants our message to be heard. And let me tell you, these people are mostly scientists and mostly pretty scornful of anyone that is anything but a hardline scientist. And I am the farthest thing from one, and Jim isn't much better. So pray for us, because the Lord and all of his unseen friends must be with us, or we'll just go... crawl away from the stage.
Now, what is this event you're going to again?
Well, he calls it a party. It's a very interesting concept. He's getting a lot of people together that feel that they have the answers. And he's going to ask all of us questions. And we divide into groups and talk about it and then report back to him. And somehow, at some point, he wants me to share truth with these people. Now, I don't see how to do it at this point. It's just going to have to come to me. But
I have no doubt
the Creator's been with me so far. So thank
wonderful.
You,
okay. Well, you have a wonderful trip. Thank you so much, Carla and Jim. Thank you for all your insights. And we will not have a show next week, but we will be back in 2 weeks. And that is Thanksgiving weekend. We will be here at 8 o'clock Eastern. You've been listening to LL Research's In the Now with Carla L. Ruckert and Jim McCarty. Please check out llresearch.org, which is the archive website featuring the Law of One material, channelings, transcripts, publications, and more, and the community website bringforth.org. That's bring4th.org. And thank you for those of you who submitted questions. You can submit questions at bringforth.org. Go to the Bring Forth 2 forum to the thread discussion Q&A with Carla L. Ruckert submitting questions. Or you can call in live, and whoever called in live earlier today, we hope you will call back, and we hope to talk to you live. Okay, have a great 2 weeks. We'll see you in 2 weeks.